Good morning, church family. This is Sunday, April the 12th. It's Easter. It's the Resurrection Sunday. Normally, we would have an Easter breakfast followed by our morning service, early service, then our Easter breakfast followed by this Sunday school hour. But with the COVID-19, it does change what we do. But I think there is a benefit in that we are forced to take a look at what we do and to think about not just what we do, but why we do it. And some of that will come out in today's teaching times, both this morning and our this Sunday school hour, and then the AM message. They are basically two parts of a whole. They can stand alone, but there are connections. There are things that will weave into both of those. So hopefully you'll get an opportunity and take the time to watch them separately and to watch both of them in due time. If I have your Bibles out, I want to have you open them to 2 Timothy and the second chapter. In a moment, I'm going to read several verses, verses 15 through 18. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. But first, let me give you some history that will kind of put things into a context for what's going to happen later, and then a little bit of understanding as we move into this text by itself. The New Testament church during New Testament times commemorated the resurrection of Jesus every week, every time they gathered. One of the reasons why we say that is just that the resurrection had a big part in their thinking. It's what changed the disciples. It's what just gave them just this confidence and this power about them as they ministered with the Holy Spirit and took the gospel to the world. The gospel in the book of Acts contained frequently, if not almost always, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It obviously was a life-changing, and it changed their whole focus of their lives. The Sabbath became the Lord's Day, and the Lord's named the Lord's Day, I think, because of the resurrection. The first day of the week is when Jesus rose from the dead. So eventually, as the church developed, I believe we find them gathering once a week. On Sunday, the Lord's Day, once again, a remembrance, a commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then the start of the church. By the mid-second century, we find something happening in church history called the Easter Controversy. So already at the middle of the second century, they were arguing, or not arguing, there's discussions about what date to have as Easter. The controversy is interesting. It's still divided today. Greek Orthodox churches, Russian Orthodox, will use a different date than the Western church. But that's not the point. The point is by the time the second century comes around, that they set aside one day out of the year to commemorate and emphasize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's where we get our church calendar day called Easter. We think about that once a year. Because of the persecution following the formation of the church, starting right away, but it would go in different waves through the first several centuries. Because of persecution, believers in the first several centuries of the church lived distinctly holy and separate lives. You would not have found churches adopting any pagan beliefs or pagan practices. So Easter Sunday, to put it in those terms, existed, but it was truly Christian, emphasizing, I believe, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the true truth surrounding it. But sometime during the first half of the 4th century, 314, I believe it was, the Edict of Milan with Constantine, where he made it official to tolerate Christianity, and then probably a decade later, it became the official religion of the Roman Empire at that time. So sometime following that, or during that process of acknowledging Christianity and making it the official religion, pagan practices and pagan beliefs began to be adopted by the church. They would welcome these pagan members without demanding that they would believe certain truths. And we find that once that happened, the church takes off, and there's many very old church traditions that develop around the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or the commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we call Easter Sunday. So think about that little bit of church history, and then go with me to 2 Timothy in chapter 2, and let me show you some things that we see in the first century. Remember I said they lived distinctively holy lives. They did not adopt all these other matters. But the writing of 2 Timothy is going to be in the early years, or the first part of 60 AD, of the 7th century there, or 7th decade. But what we see happening is Paul writing to Timothy and warning him about something. And so I'm going to take a look at that. Look at verse 15 and following of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, whom concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." We see the reference in this passage, and if you look at verse 18, I'm going to show it to you. It talks about two individuals, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning truth have erred. All right, so they're off the path. They've deviated from truth. And what they were saying is that the resurrection had already passed. Now, we hear the word resurrection. This is not the resurrection of Jesus. This is the resurrection of believers. But connect that in your thoughts. Christ said that he was going to be the first fruits of the resurrection. Christ, his resurrection demonstrates that there is a resurrection of a dead. And so there is this connection. There's this resurrection idea that there was error regarding the truth that had been given to us in the Word. So, first of all, if we look at this passage, there was error being circulated about the resurrection. Not the resurrection of Jesus, but about resurrection. There was a mix-up in the truth that was happening. If you look at verse 17, it talks about this. It says, "Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus." The error surrounding resurrection the error had spread. It's called a canker. The word is translated sometimes gangrene. It's a sore. It's a bodily sore that destroys the flesh, that eats the flesh. It's something that spreads if it's left alone. All right, the idea is the error had spread. If you go back now and look at verse 18, it says, "Who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." The error surrounding resurrection, a deviation from the truth, had overthrown the faith of some. It's a compound word which means to turn. It may have the idea of being upset. It's upset the faith of some. The same word, different prefix, is used as you look at verse 14. It says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers." So words, the error in this case surrounding resurrection, had subverted the hearers, the believers, and had it upset. It was overthrowing the faith of some, to borrow the words in verse 18. So we see that this error was not inconsequential. It was something that had to be addressed. Therefore, if you look at the passage as a whole, I'm just taking it apart, putting it back together, showing you the ideas. If you look at the passage as a whole, verse 15 says, Christians should be diligent. That's the word study. It has the idea of diligence. Study, it says in verse 15, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So error exists. All right, this error existed. It spread. It was having a devastating effect upon believers, subverting the faith of some. Those are hearers. It was upsetting them. And when you look at the answer, that is that Christians ought to be diligent, that is the word study, in rightly dividing, you see that word there at the end, rightly dividing the word of truth, literally means cutting it straight. May have been a tent-making term. At least it's used in tent-making, used in cutting the pattern straight, sewing things straight so the end product is what it should be. So cutting it straight is what we ought to be diligent at, and we ought to be rightly dividing the word of truth. And we are to do so like a workman who work will be inspected, all right? It's the idea that he doesn't, when his work gets inspected, he has nothing to be ashamed of. So in the presence of error, we ought to become workmen diligently, rightly dividing the word of truth, is the idea. But there's a little bit more. Christians were also to shun these profane and vain babblings. Look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The end product of these vain babblings, I think you can connect it to the error that Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching about resurrection. Classified as vain babblings, has no, it's the opposite of the word of truth. So they're teaching this, and it's only leading to more ungodliness. That's what error does. So if ungodliness is increasing, I can guarantee you it's because error is being accepted and taught, and believers are not being diligent to rightly divide the word of truth, like a workman who needs not to be ashamed when his time comes for his product to be inspected. In our world today, false teaching, right, this is Easter Sunday, false teaching regarding the resurrection, right? We apply there, false teaching regarding resurrection, and Easter traditions, that's the history I shared with you, how that came into effect, Easter traditions, after it was the adoption of pagan and both beliefs and practices, and an ungodly culture. So we have the idea of false teaching exists today. Easter traditions, 1,600 years worth of Easter traditions are with us today. And an ungodly culture, which becomes more ungodly as time goes on. And we see all of that have impacted the Christian's view of the resurrection, right? All of that has impacted them in some adverse ways. That's what I'm going to share with you momentarily. But the idea is to put it in your thoughts, especially the younger generations. And I'll share with you why I say that. But there's an urgent need today in our time, in our culture. There's an urgent need for clear, rightly divided teaching of the word of truth about the resurrection. We don't need more entertainment. We don't need a bigger and better carnival, an extravaganza. We don't need, you know, specially delivered, eloquently delivered messages. We don't need a smooth words. We don't need slick programming. What we need in a time of error is workmen rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what's needed. And if you tie all of this together into the idea of the resurrection, I think there's some challenges that we face. So both the rest of this Sunday school teaching time and the morning service, I've entitled with this. It's a long title, so here it goes. How False Teaching, Easter Traditions, Ungodly Culture Impacts Our Thinking on the Resurrection of Jesus. So how does all of that impact our thinking on the resurrection of Jesus? Well, number one, we have a generation, actually generations, who have not been taught the rightly divided word of truth. We can say, well, they've been to church. That doesn't mean anything in our day, in our culture, Christian, in culture of Christianity. There where we find generations now that are both ignorant of the word of truth, because they've never heard it rightly divided, and they are also ignorant of church history. They consider anything old as being Christian. And it's like, well, wait a second. So it started in the 4th century, doesn't make it what the Bible says. But we lack this idea. So we have generations who have not been taught the rightly divided word of truth. What that does is two things. It renders them incapable of discerning error and deviations from the word of truth. Right, so they since they haven't been taught, they cannot recognize the error. Imagine, here comes Hymenaeus and Philetus, and they're propagating an error regarding resurrection, and you have no basis upon which to say you're wrong, or no basis to for a warning to go off that they might be wrong. As long as they present it with authority, as long as they present it in a slickly packaged message, and attractive to people, it may very well be accepted. But because we haven't been taught the word of truth about the resurrection, we have generations now who cannot discern error, right? They cannot discern what the error is. And it's also rendered them incapable of grasping the dangers of tolerating error and refusing to shun it. I remember in 2 Timothy, the command was really twofold. They were rightly divide the word of truth. But then I think the idea is that they were to shun those who were teaching error. Well, if I can't discern what error is, and if I will not shun it, what happens? I begin to tolerate it. I begin to allow it to come into my life with devastating effects. That's what happened in the 4th century when they say, how could they ever adopt the pagan practices? How could they ever adopt pagan beliefs and attach them to the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter? I'll tell you how. They refused to shun it. The popularity involving more people was more important to them than the truth of the Word of God. And so it renders us incapable of both discerning error and grasping the dangers. You say, what are the dangers? Well, it's like a canker. It spreads. It's not going to go only so far and stop. I'm going to suggest to you gangrene, if you use that translation or that idea of this, what this error is like, it's not something you live with. It spreads and it'll kill you. It'll destroy you. That's why often the treatment for that is to amputate the part that's infected, so that it doesn't go any further. And you see this idea is that unless we understand the word of truth, we will become very tolerant of error regarding even the resurrection. We have several generations. We are several generations into the decline of biblical teaching in our churches. I'm going to suggest to you profane and vain babblings abound, even regarding the resurrection. Their ungodliness has increased as a result of the errors and not doing what God tells us to do. Biblical truth is sometimes taught. People are listening. But I think sometimes we're not becoming workmen. We're not diligent at rightly dividing the word of truth. We can't think reasonably or reason biblically. We can't give a reasonable defense of the resurrection. We're just listening to nice messages and hearing the word of truth at times, but not saying, "All right, how can I defend this when it gets attacked from other sources or other people?" I think also in our day, probably already mentioned, we seem to be unwilling to shun errors in theology and practice. We don't like this idea of separation from others. We think that that's actually wrong and evil, but that is what he tells us to do. We are to shun these things, turn from them, walk away from them. That's the idea. So it has rendered us incapable of certain things, but secondly, we have generations. My opinion, we have generations who do not care about the word of truth. They haven't been taught the word of truth, rightly divided, and they don't care about the word of truth. We do fine with other things. Easter's going along just fine without the word of truth. We've got all of these activities and these programs. We've got crowds and multitudes coming to our carnivals and our services and our everything we have, and we say, why are we content with that? Because we haven't been taught the word of truth and what it has to say. Contemporary Christianity basically is not about the truth, right? We are to be workmen, diligent to rightly divide the word of truth. And you say, well, what is contemporary? It's not about the truth. It's all about the experience of spirituality. It's about how I feel. Therefore, we seem to see them prospering, what appears to be prospering, without the word of truth, rightly divided. Why? Because they don't need it. It's all about, it's not about the truth. It's about how we feel. To bring it back to resurrection and Easter, Easter has become not about resurrection truth, rightly divided from the word of God. It's about activities. It's about performances. It's about creating a fun. It's about creating happy, family, hopeful experiences. I suggest to you, Easter has become about other things. Let me just give you some examples. These are Easter traditions developed over 1,600 years of time. But let me ask you, what does eggs, bunnies, baskets, and spring, meaning in the northern hemisphere where things spring back to life, what does that have to do with the resurrection? Where does that have to do with rightly divided word of truth? There's other things. I think back, I'm trying to consider even my upbringing. Easter clothes, bonnets and dresses. I grew up with three sisters. It was more important for them. I didn't get a dress or a bonnet. Some of you are now going to send me pictures of dresses and bonnets for me. But the idea is it became about that. Family gatherings on Easter, meals on Easter. For some reason, I'm not sure why, we always had ham on Easter. Church traditions, sunrise services, sometimes well after the sun comes up, but sunrise services, special music, special productions, even church attendance itself swells at Easter time. My own father was one of those that, my memory at least, was he would be in church on Christmas and on Easter. Those were one of the two times that he went. Actually, the third would be the month that he was assigned to usher. But that was just something that he did. But Easter has become about other things. We can have all those other things without believing in the resurrection of Jesus, or without believing correctly about the resurrection of Jesus, because all these other things make us feel spiritual. They make us feel good. That's what Easter has become. COVID-19 and the pandemic that we are experiencing and trying to flatten the curve by not meeting together, it definitely has changed life, hasn't it? It's changed things in the church. We are unable to have our regular Easter, Resurrection Sunday time together as a church. But as I mentioned at the outset, it does make us think. Not having, being able to have those things does make us think about what we do and why we do it. So COVID-19 has definitely changed things, makes us ask, makes us say something like this. It doesn't seem like Easter. I think maybe we ought to think this way. Why not? You say, well, because we can't do this and we can't do that. Let me tell Easter, you say things are missing. Well, you can still do eggs and baskets and you can dress up. You say, I have no place to go. Well, you can still do those things. But let me tell you, I'm okay with it, because that's not what the resurrection is about. That's not what the church's commemoration of the resurrection is, what constitutes that, what is meant to be Easter. And so I think what has happened is we are forced to think in terms of what is it we're doing? Are we rightly dividing the word of truth? That's what's important on Easter. Are we declaring the resurrection of Jesus Christ bodily from the grave, declaring once and for all that he is the Son of God, and that everything he says is true? All of those things we can still do, because that's what really the remembrance of the resurrection is all about. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, indeed, we are grateful for your truth that we have. Challenge us to be rightly dividing it, shunning the errors that are so prevalent today. Cause us to think about the traditions that we practice and what they really have to do with the word of truth. And Lord, teach us, even while we're apart. Lord, we do long to be back together as a church again, to be together in the hearing of your word. But Lord, focus our thoughts on the resurrection of Jesus Christ here today. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.